Mockery Rocks, I am Rocky's dad. We would like to talk about two things from Iran, neither of which have anything to do with the assassination of the general, which is the bigger news story. You have to look at the other things, like... On Wednesday, the 8th of January, a magnitude 4.5 earthquake struck or rattled an area less than 50 kilometers or 30 miles from Iran's Bushehr nuclear power plant near the country's Gulf Coast. The quake, which had a depth of 10 kilometers and struck 17 kilometers south-southeast of Borazjan City, at 6:49 a.m., the U.S. Geological Survey mentioned on its website, state news agency IRNA said the quake was felt in Bushehr. There were no reports of any damage to the nuclear facility. But seven people were injured, including four who were hospitalized, IRNA reported, citing the head of Bushehr's Crisis Management Center, Jahangir Degani. The crisis management team is in the region and assessing the damage to buildings, he said in the report published hours after the quake struck. The latest quake comes exactly a fortnight after a magnitude 5.1 earthquake hit the same area without causing any casualties or major damage. There was no byline on the thing about the quake, but it comes from AFP, which is not the same as AP, but still a reliable news service. I'm not sure if this comes from BBC or CNN or some other alphabet soup, but it's from a credible news service. I just forgot to copy which news service when I copied what it says. And what it says is Iran has said it will not hand over black box flight recorders recovered from a plane that crashed with 176 people on board to the manufacturer, which would be U.S. Boeing. The Ukrainian Boeing 737-800 went down just minutes after takeoff from Tehran's airport, leaving no survivors. Under global aviation rules, Iran has the right to lead the investigation, but manufacturers are typically involved, and experts say few countries are capable of analyzing black boxes. The crash came at a time of high tensions between Iran and the United States of America, and just hours after Iran carried out a missile strike on two air bases housing U.S. forces in Iraq, where there is no status of forces agreement with the United States of America. There is no evidence the two events are at all linked. Of course not. Normally, the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board would have a role to play in any international investigations involving U.S.-made Boeings, but the board must act with permission and in accordance with legislation of the foreign country concerned. In comments published by Iran's conservative Mehr news agency, the head of Iran's Civil Aviation Organization, Ali Abedzadeh, said we will not give the black box to the manufacturer, nor to the Americans. This accident will be investigated by Iran's aviation organization, but the Ukrainians can also be present, he said. Mr. Abedzadeh said it was not yet clear which country would analyze the black boxes, a cockpit recorder and flight data recorder. Boeing said it was ready to assist in any way needed, while Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said his country expected to have a role in the investigation and had offered technical assistance because the final destination of the plane that never got there was Canada. Of the people killed who were on board the plane, none were Japanese, none were American. 82 Iranians who were going to Canada, 63 Canadians, 11 Ukrainians, 10 Swedes, 4 Afghans, 3 people from United Kingdom, and 3 from Germany. Oh, 138 passengers, according to Mr. Trudeau, were on the flight en route to Canada via Kiev. I have recently gotten just a little confused about the pronunciation of that city, the capital of Ukraine, and I do say Ukraine, not Ukraine. Some people say Kiev, and some people say Kiev. But I once met a missionary who ministered to people in that city, Kiev, Ukraine. And he called it Kiev. Maybe the other people are confused, not me. On the two previous things that I presented to you through audio, I didn't know who might have written it, but since this is an opinion piece, I have a name. It's from the Washington Post. It's written by Paul Waldman. It was published the 9th of January, 2020. And Paul says this, having prepared carefully to deliver inspiring words that would bring all Americans together as they worry about the possibility of another war in the Middle East. President Trump stepped to the podium Wednesday morning and instead gave a brief speech that was vintage Trump, lacking in even the barest eloquence, replete with lies, delivered with garbled pronunciation sometimes. Let's examine what we learned from Trump's speech, how it illuminated the events of the past few days. Number one, as he pulls 5 takeaways from it. Trump's Iran policy has been a catastrophe, a catastrophic failure. The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, and mayhem will not be tolerated any longer. That's what the president said. But that in itself is an acknowledgement of the president's own failure, according to Paul Waldman. Trump has entered a new era of warfare by openly authorizing the assassination of another nation's military leader using an armed drone. And that is not from the writer, but the writer is quoting a guy who also advances his own commentary. The guy's name is David Ignatius. The second point, or the second takeaway from what the president said, as interpreted by Paul Waldman in the Washington Post, Trump desperately wanted to find a way to declare victory and back off. The great concern of the moment is that by assassinating Major General Qasem Soleimani, Trump set off a cycle of retaliation between the two countries that could spin out of control. Iran seems to be cautious about that, which could be why they aimed missiles at a largely empty area of an Iraqi base housing U.S. troops and informed the Iraqi government beforehand. The third point, Trump is still obsessed with the previous president, Barack Obama. For whatever combination of reasons, Trump has long been obsessed with President Barack Obama and comparisons anyone might make between the two men. Perhaps this is because Obama embodies just about every personal virtue in which Trump is lacking. More likely, it's the fact that Obama enjoys a level of respect and admiration at home and abroad that Trump knows he will never come close to achieving. Two more points from the Washington Post opinion writer. Trump is comically insecure about his manhood. Our source for this is the lady named Melania. No. I inserted that, and it is a lie. The writer says, not what I said, but the writer says, our missiles are big, powerful, accurate, lethal, and fast. Trump said, sometimes a missile is just a missile. But sometimes it's an expression of your desperate fear that people will point and laugh at you. And the last point from the writer, as I summarize, Trump still has no idea what he wants to accomplish with regard to Iran and how to do it. Much of Trump's speech, the parts that weren't devoted to how great the U.S. economy is or how we've now reached an energy independence, neither of which have anything to do with the current crisis, was about Iran's misdeeds and how we're now going to be hitting them with sanctions to punish them and change their behavior, which is something you could have heard a U.S. president say at any time in the past couple of decades. So why is that going to work now? You can go to the Washington Post online and figure out what parts of Paul Waldman's writing I left out. I never, never give you the whole thing. I really, really, really want to thank you so much for listening to this Rock of Mockery. We call our episodes rocks, and this one will be an odd number as we number them. The even numbers go to Patreon. We want to talk all of our listeners into moving to Patreon to get our Rocks of Mockery. The last one was exclusively there, but this one goes to the subscribers for free. But eventually, we want all the subscribers to move to Patreon. Let's see, what's the URL? That is P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/ROCKYSDAD.